Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
We're with Michael Arenstein, Mark and Field Asset Management. He is official surveillance St. Louis Cardinals expert. We're going to get to that in a minute. You were just so excited there, Michael, about what we're going to see here tonight with Albert Pujols batting late in the game.
I just said I'd hate to be pitching to him at that juncture. You talk about pressure.
Well,
not only the fact that I don't think I could get above 65 miles an hour now, but yeah. he is something else.
He's something else. So is this economy. What a surprise. You are known for the green swan statement. It has been dead on for 3 years. Once again, earnings are going to be terrible. The world's coming to an end. It's an October surprise. Do you reconfirm here that corporate America can still get it done?
Yeah, I think it's fairly clear, and people keep making excuses for the good numbers coming out. I think people are just inclined to bet the under on every piece of data, and that was more or less the case with Europe. Whatever the outcome had been and whatever it's going to be, people had already made up their minds that it was very, very, very negative.
What is the linkage of corporate attitude, revenues down the income statement to income to economics? It's obviously way overemphasized, but how much overemphasized is it?
Well, I think one thing, when you talk about that linkage, we've done some work on the elements of the government statistics pertaining to income, to personal income, and the series that they quote, the income number is made up of 30 separate inputs from all over the government, half of which are imputed, half of which they change
imputed
whimsically.
Imputed, folks, is plug it in and throw a dart at the dartboard.
Yeah. And so the numbers that come out vis-a-vis personal income, I think, are completely unreliable.
Well, does that mean that it's being underreported, that consumers are better off than the numbers show?
I think it's pretty clear from the hard data you get from retailers and profits in the consumer discretionary sector, plus the performance
okay.
of the stocks.
Well, if we're being optimistic here, how much should we read into Ford Motor Company's earnings report the other day? Second best quarter they've ever had in their entire history, and good chance of the dividend going up.
Yeah, I think it's typical. Despite people's attitude, the numbers that come out that are actual numbers, that are not extrapolations of prior trends or estimates, are quite good. I think this week, didn't the Rockefeller Institute put out figures showing that state receipts from sales and income tax were much higher than people had anticipated?
Yeah.
But the commentary around it was, well, of course, folks, this is temporary, and as soon as we get back to the normal, horrible environment, these are going to go way down.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency for people to take data and step on it as much as they
and
can.
And hat tip, Ken, we'd like to mention our guests that get these things right. Dan Clifton, Strategus Research, was pounding the table 18 months ago on better state and federal tax receipts.
So, problem over then, Michael? I mean, happy days are here again?
Well, there are always problems. It's a question. Now, human beings sort of have the discretion to focus on whatever aspect of their environment happens to catch their attention and their emotional posture. So
that would be the Boston Red Sox. Continue.
Yeah, I wasn't too unhappy to hear the reports out of Boston, to tell you the truth.
Michael, where would you invest right now? Where's the most attractive area?
United States private sector, pretty much across the board, although I still can't understand how the integrated financials going forward are really going to make the sort of money they've made in prior decades.
They'll be maybe range-bound. Other than the financials, will be range-bound moving out here.
Yeah, the industrial sector, consumer discretionary, technology. I think the United States is in remarkably good condition compared to people's perception of its relative standing in the world.
And I want to go a little bit more on this personal income issue where you doubt how our income is tepid. Are you suggesting then that it's rather buoyant, that we're really generating a lot more income than it's out there?
Well, what I base that on is we seem to be generating a lot more financial net worth, according to the Federal Reserve, when they aggregate the figures that constitute net worth of the American public. And that would seem to have one source, which is income. And that's doing much better than the reported income statistics, which, as I said, we have very good young research associates who've done a lot of work on this, a lot of in-depth work. And it sort of shocked me how erratic and unreliable the process of compiling these is, and the fact that people actually plug these into models and use them to make investment decisions, these figures.
Well, does that mean, among other things, that it might be a better Christmas season for retailers than everybody's anticipating?
I don't really know. I don't have any insight into that, but I think people have been surprised just for the last 2.5 years by how buoyant the consumer sector is and where retail sales have gone and how well the consumer discretionary stocks have done, and yet there's this sort of urban myth that the consumer is tapped out, and it doesn't seem to go away.
Michael, you've been a quiet legend on Wall Street for decades. Your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street and what we've witnessed really around the world, and it's on the cover of Bloomberg Business Week, right, this week. Just your thoughts on this moment and this event.
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, the incentive structure in financial markets, and particularly with people running public companies, is really asymmetrical. And part of that I attribute to the growth of regulation, regulation has become a substitute for personal liability and personal responsibility. So when things go wrong, as they have in the past decade or so, vis-a-vis the capital markets and some of these big institutions that ran themselves into the ground, the leaders walk away with hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's almost like on their ledger, no harm, no foul, whereas the collateral damage is enormous. And I think people really resent that. And I have to say, I'm not of the same kind of political bent vis-a-vis the capitalist system as most of the people downtown, but I find it really disturbing that when somebody blows up an institution through a series of bad decisions, it doesn't affect their lives. Their lifestyle is unaffected. And the illusion that we can regulate behavior without putting personal liability in the equation, I think is ridiculous, because you have a classic agency problem. You're playing with somebody else's money, and people tend to behave differently when it's the shareholders' money as opposed to a lot of their own. So maybe we made a big mistake allowing all these institutions to dissolve their partnership status 30
years
ago.
That's where I want to go. Henry Kaufman is really on that. We got to get back to a quasi-partnership structure.
Yeah, and you could even do that with the public institutions now. You could make the board and the executives and the top 200 salary earners personally liable for the first layer of losses in any kind of disturbance. And that would really change the way people behave.
Do a shameless plug here.
Well, yes, as Tom mentioned, that's the cover story in Bloomberg Business Week, and you can hear all about it 8 to 10 tonight and 8 to 10 tomorrow morning on Bloomberg Radio as Pem Fox and I go over who's behind the mask with Drake Bennett, who wrote the article.
Very good cover story. Michael, your optimism on American industry, do you have the same optimism on major foreign corporations, including European companies? Is there value in a Siemens or a Nestle?
Yeah, those are good companies, and I do think the corporate sector in Europe, particularly in sort of the northern tier, is really the strongest component of the whole European economic system by far at this point. And I was saying to someone yesterday, I hold out hope for Italy because I like making things in my free time, and the Italians still make the best bandsaws in the world, along with some pretty nice clothing and some pretty nice sports cars.
Right.
But, so that gives me a sense that there's a lot to salvage.
Oh, no. John Tucker is like on the edge of his seat and at our world headquarters.
What kind of bandsaw is it?
What kind of bandsaw? There we are. John Tucker.
Minimax. 24-inch.
I just have a 12-inch. I'm looking to upgrade.
Well, this one weighs 1,050 pounds, so you have to make provisions for how to move it around.
You really caught my attention there, by the way.
What are we making in the Ernstein basement as we go into winter?
Whatever strikes me. I haven't really set it up yet. We're moving, and I have a garage, finally, that I can commandeer.
Which wood do you like to work with best when you're working with a bandsaw?
Well, the easiest ones are the softwoods, but...
Yeah, but I mean, of the fancy ones, which one do you like to work with best?
Cherry's nice to work with, and I'm a big fan of walnut also because of not only the way it machines, but the way it looks.
This has been
this guy's my new hero.
Michael Ehrenstein with us at Market Field Asset Management. We hereby deem him official surveillance wood cutter. That's not the right phrase.
Woodworker,
yes, better. Official woodworking. You didn't think, folks, worldwide you'd get this today on Bloomberg Surveillance, but there it is. And we welcome all of you at Bloomberg.com on Bloomberg Radio Plus, available at the App Store and iTunes. Yes, we're working on an Android and BlackBerry version, and of course on Sirius and XM across the woodworking nation.
Well, Michael, can you tell us real quick here, what's your favorite stock right now?
I'm useless in picking individual stocks. That's, we're really a
stick
top,
to woodworking.
Top down.
Okay. Michael Ehrenstein, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2011.